And what we've been doing every Sunday is we've been hearing not only the Word, but we've been hearing real live testimonies of what God has done for folks right here at City on a Hill Church. Yeah. Praise God. And a friend has a great testimony of how she's been healed by the Lord, so I'm going to have her share with you.
Well, about 4 years ago, it was Thanksgiving Day, and I was living alone for a time. I stood on Psalms 23 a lot. I walked through the valley of very dark darkness. And Thanksgiving, I had a pain in my face. And I kept saying, oh, it's nothing, it's nothing. Friday morning, I woke up, and my whole right face was swollen. My eye was swollen shut. My chin was down here at my collarbone. I had a friend of mine drive me to the doctor. I walked in, and I thought, Lord, you're with me. I know you're with me. And the diagnosis was I had Bell palsy. I couldn't smile. I couldn't laugh. Eating was a chore. So I said, Lord, I don't believe this diagnosis. You won't let me lose my smile. I smile because of you. And so I went to bed Friday night, praying the whole night long. Saturday morning, I got up, walked into the bathroom thinking, Lord, let me see my face again. And there it was. I was healed. I do not believe in Bell's palsy. You're not going to get me. I'm not going to be this way for, she said, 2 months. And I had to go back Monday morning to the doctor. I walked in there smiling from ear to ear. The doctor said, okay, where did you go get your surgery done? I said, God gave it to me. He did everything for me. I am perfect, I am whole, and I am well because Jesus Christ believes in me. Thank you.
Praise God. You tell me you had a faith lift, right?
You said I had a faith
lift. A faith lift, yeah. Praise the Lord. She did. Amen. Amen. All right, praise God. I'm going to ask Dot, they're over here today. Okay. Doss Baker is going to come up, and I don't know if Teresa's going to come with him, but they're going to come up and share Doss's testimony of healing and that happened just a few years ago and was a process that he walked through. So praise the Lord. Sometimes we're healed instantly. Sometimes our healing is a process. Sometimes we're healed completely independent of medical science, like Friend was. Sometimes we're healed in conjunction with medical science. But the bottom line is God wants us well. And even if you seek medical help, which we're certainly not opposed to that, we recommend that. But even if you seek medical help, you need to release your faith in God's power. Sometimes the doctors don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do. And sometimes you're releasing your faith will even give the doctors wisdom. It'll help them to know what to do. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right.
Thank you, Pastor. Like the pastor said, my name is Doss Baker. This is my wife, Teresa. And the short version is I was having some small seizures, not knowing really what was causing it. And I went to see my neurologist, and he had me to go have an MRI done. You know, that's where they scan your head and stuff. The next day, I was getting a phone call from him saying, we need you in here right now. Call your wife, and let's get this thing set up. And at first I said, is this a joke? Who is this? You know, because I thought it was someone of my friends playing a joke on me because they knew I was going through this stuff. But anyway, they found a tumor right behind my right eye, about the size of a golf ball, I think it was. And so I went in, and with my wife, we went in and talked to the doctors and got everything set up. You know, okay, they're going to cut me open, okay? My wife was more afraid of what was going on than I was, because I know if something went bad, she's going to be taken care of by the church family, and God's got me. So I'm not going anywhere but with him if anything happened. So in a series, they went in. I've got 3 titanium plates and 15 screws in my head from the surgery. They got 70% of the cancer out. And the other 30% that was there was too close to my optic nerve for them to go get. So while I was in the hospital, you know, kind of recovering and everything, I also had the doctors come in. You know, they got their name tags and stuff they cover with their faces and their names on it. Both my doctors came in with their hands over their tag saying, who are we? And I looked at them and says, you're my doctors. And he said, no, what is our names? And, you know, they thought they were smart covering it up. I says, they must think I'm brain dead. Their lab jacket had their name written on it. I said, you're Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. And they said, okay. So they went off. Well, after I got out of the hospital and everything and had an appointment to see him, I told him, I said, guys, I have to apologize. I cheated. You know, on the test, your name was on your lab coat. And the thing was, they said, you know, some of the nurses don't even think about reading the lab jacket. So I still passed the test of my brain was working. So now we're getting ready to do the second stage because the other part was still there. And I'm going to let my wife tell you what she heard from the Lord about something going on.
Okay, thank you. We're just up here confirming everything that Pastor Carl said, Pastor Robin, Pastor David. So it was neat that everything falls into place. I was a little afraid of him having to have cancer, well, that of course, but chemotherapy and radiation are the protocol for that. And I was thinking about how dangerous chemotherapy was, and it's like, oh no, poison, I don't want that in your body. So a wise Bible study teacher of mine said, have you asked for a rhema, word of God? And when you study the Bible, and this is the place to learn how to hear from God. And so my rhema word was a breathed word of God. And how many of you know that we serve a supernatural God? Sometimes we're the natural and he adds the super. So the only way I knew to do it was to have my own church service alone. So I lit a candle, had on praise music, reading the Bible. I read it aloud, and then I read it to myself. And then I prayed, and then I prayed in tongues. And this was the hardest part. I had to be still and listen. Sometimes it takes a lot of discipline to get to that point. So I'm laying there, okay, Lord, I need to hear from you. And the only thing I asked was, I just want to be at peace with this cancer chemotherapy situation. And Pastor Robin said, well, God can work through doctors sometimes too. So I was trying to grab every little bit of peace I had. But I looked at the clock and I said, well, Lord, I'm just going to go with you. It's time to get ready, put him in the car, drive him to the doctor. And as I was getting ready, I kept hearing something in my heart, in my spirit, and it was 3 syllables. It was da, 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 da. And I'm like, what is that? And I was like, I mean, I would be doing silly things like just crossing through the door, and I'd hear da, da, da. And it was something like da, amor, da, a door. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want? What do you want trying to tell me? So I went and looked it up. I thought maybe it was troubadour. And I looked at that, and I, nope, that wasn't it. And I thought, well, maybe it's paramour. And I looked that up. No, that wasn't it. Too bad. I missed it. Time to go. So I took him to the doctor's office. It was an oncology doctor who prescribes chemotherapy. He said, now the next step is for you to take this chemotherapy by mouth, and it's called Timodar. And that was the word that I was hearing in my spirit, but I didn't know in the natural what it was. So I remained calm and composed in the doctor's office, but my spirit was going, like, oh, that's it. And I'm like, oh, good, thank you. Now I'm at peace with him taking chemotherapy. And the doctor looks at me, and I just smiled. And so when you need to hear from the Lord, that's one way to do it. I just wanted to make a point, but I couldn't think what it was.
So anyway, taking this medication, people, they were giving me poison, okay? While I was taking it, I was not allowed to kiss my wife because I was toxic, okay? Because just it was giving me poison to kill the cells in the cancer. All right. I had to take other medicines to keep me from being sick from this medicine. So it was not pleasant and it was rough. So sometimes when I came in, if I didn't shake your hand, that was a reason why, because I didn't want anybody to touch me because of what I was taking. The rough part, not being able to kiss my wife. You know, that was tough. So that process was trying to go through, that medicine was trying to kill the cells and make that tumor move. It wasn't doing it. So one Wednesday night was having a healing service here at the church. And I know in the next couple of days, I had to go in for another MRI to see where my tumor was that was left, what was going on. Well, I came up at the end of the service, and we had prayer, and I think John Conyers was here that night. And we had had John Conyers. He prayed with me, the pastor and his wife. They all prayed for me that night for that to be taken care of. People, later on that night and the rest of the next day, I had a very severe headache, not knowing why, but it was on the right-hand side of my face area where that tumor was. All right, went in for my MRI. The doctors came in and said, after they read it, you don't need to take this medication anymore. The tumor is moved. My headache was because God moved that tumor away from that optic nerve. I've never had headaches before. This is the only time I had it. So now we went through the last process of doing the gamma ray knife. Pastor, you came and saw me. They put that halo on me, put those screws in my head to hold me still. You know, this is a robot. But at my last consultation with my doctors in MRIs, they can't say that I'm cancer-free, but I say I am, because they can't really find anything there that could be considered a large mass anymore. So basically, God has healed me. I'm saying that he has of what was left, and we're cancer is free is the way I'm going to call it. They can't say that. Now, one thing is, while I was in the hospital and under the medication, our pastor, David, came to visit me. Before, we were members. We were just visitors here at the church. And he came and visited me in the hospital, not really knowing who I was. He may know about me, but not know me. And when my wife told me what the pastor was doing, I said, this tells me the man's heart is for the people. He is after God's own heart, for the people. And I said, this is going to be our home. So that was, Pastor, I thank you for that, because that told me what your heart is. And I think, is there someone else in the Bible named David that had a heart like God? So that's our testimony stuff, and God is good. He's continuously healing us and taking care of me from my crazy things that I do.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. A wonderful report. Praise God. Praise God. I know that encouraged you. Praise God. There's a little guy, Linda's nephew, Eli, who's a year old, a little over a year old, and we prayed for him recently. So tell us, Pat remembers, she's nodding her head because we prayed for him in prayer school, I think. So tell us what's going on with Eli. Tell us, give a little background too, because these
okay. People may not know. All right. Eli was born with Wiskott-Aldrich disease. One in a million boys get this disease, and only boys can get it. And unfortunately, my nephew was born with it. The only way to save his life is with a bone marrow transplant. So we had to find some donor, which took a while, and the Lord finally found us a donor, and he went through the first process of receiving the bone marrow transplant, and his body rejected the cells. So he had to go through a second bone marrow transplant, and he's been in the hospital since May 5th. And they had to put him in a stiffened state, like, kind of like a coma. His body is all swollen, and the day I called Pastor Carl for all of y'all to pray, my family believed that was his last day, that he was going to die. And so we all went, and for the first time I was allowed to see him, And I went into the room, and I held his little hand, and I rebuked Satan, and I told him he had to leave, and he could never come back. And even though my little nephew's body was stiffened with drugs, he squeezed my hand. No one believes me, but I know he squeezed my hand. So I believed at that point that God had taken over, the devil was gone, and I just felt much better about the whole situation. So every day I've watched, and every day he got a little better. And then 2 days ago, we got a horrible report that his whole body was blood red, his hands were purple, and they had no idea what was going on. And he has lesions on his kidneys, liver, and they were having to do biopsies. Yesterday I read, for the first time, praise God, he is 100% donor accepted cells. His body has accepted the donor blood cells. So that part is the best we've heard. It's never happened. So I believe that is a positive note. And he's still purple and red. They don't know why. And his skin is flaking. And but they hope to take the breathing tube out tomorrow. So continue to pray for my little Eli. Tomorrow he can breathe. And he's going to come back to us whole, undamaged, just a perfect little child. Open his eyes. And it's like nothing ever happened to him. And I appreciate all your prayers. And every day, even though it's a little something, God gives us hope. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just declare this right now. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So, Father, we declare over Eli, we thank you that you've sent your word, and your word is healing him and delivering him from what Satan intended to destroy him. We thank you that he will live and not die. We thank you he will declare the works of the Lord. And we thank you for making him completely whole, Father God, by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 9 this morning. Luke chapter 9. And then we're also going to be turning to Mark chapter 16. Those two will be our opening text this morning. Praise God. Luke chapter 9 and Mark chapter 16. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Notice that. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus commissioned his disciples. Jesus had been doing that himself, but he said, I'm going to multiply this ministry. I'm going to give you authority to cure over demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Look at that one with me. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Praise God. So the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read these and look at these two opening scriptures here, we see the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned us. He commissioned his followers to heal the sick. Amen. There's a lot that's been done throughout the centuries in the name of Christ. But you know what Jesus commissioned his followers to do? Preach the gospel and heal the sick. Amen. Amen? Yeah. Certainly there's other things that go along with that, but we shouldn't stray too far away from that ever. Amen? He commissioned them to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And then in Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, these signs will follow who? Them that believe. Those who believe. What will they do? They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise God. So my title today is this: healing is the heritage of the church. Healing is the heritage of the church. Healing is our heritage. Healing is our heritage. Healing is the heritage of the body of Christ. Praise God. Healing for the world is to flow through the church. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the gospel, and to heal the sick. Praise God. And so healing for the world then is to flow through us. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So if healing for the world, get this now, if healing for the world is to flow through the church, then it's certainly true that healing is for the church. Amen? God would not want us dispensing something to the world that we don't have a right to have access to ourselves. Isn't that right? And it's obviously true that the church, that healing for the world is to flow through the church. Well, if that's true, then you and I are to be healed as well and to walk in health. Amen? So we have a right to be healed. We should expect to be healed. Praise God. So I want us to look at this, this reality of our heritage being healing. The church actually began, we could say that the birthday of the church, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was born on the day of Pentecost. You know, Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. He appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days after his resurrection. Then he ascended back into heaven. And he said, I want you to wait. He said, I want you to go into all the world. But wait, before you go, you need to be endued with power. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, of course, the day of Pentecost came. 10 days later, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's when the church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out there. We see in Acts chapter 2. We don't have to go very far. The very next chapter, Acts 2, is the record of that day. Of when the church was born, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then Acts chapter 3, the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, we see a notable healing. We see the first recorded healing through the ministry of the church after the resurrection of Jesus and after the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 3, and verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, who was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. I was reading this yesterday, and I just stopped right there. The Holy Spirit just arrested me. You know, here's this man, and he's been there begging, and Peter and John are going into the temple to pray, and the lame man is there begging, and Peter and John didn't walk by and kind of like, well, let's ignore this guy. You ever done that? You ever ignored someone that was in need? Come on, we probably all have, haven't we? Oh, well, this guy's out begging. Let's just, you know, we won't make eye contact. Just don't make, and you may tell your kids that. Well, you know, we're coming out of the, you know, we're coming out of the ballpark now, and there's going to be panhandlers and beggars there. Just don't make eye contact, kids. Just don't make eye contact. Well, Peter and John made eye contact that day. Hallelujah. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Glory to God. With the power that we have, the power of God that we have, the power of God that we've been entrusted with enables us not to look away. Come on. Not to look away at human suffering and need, but to be able to fix our eyes and say, we've got something that you need. We've got something that can turn your life around. Whether it's a spiritual need or whether it's a physical need. Hallelujah. We've got the answer, folks. And we don't need to turn away. We don't need to pretend like we don't see. We can make eye contact. Glory to God. That was worth coming to church for, just to get that right there. Amen. Hallelujah. So he gave them his attention, the men did, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting a quarter. He was expecting alms. He was expecting a dollar. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." And the men think, "Oh, man. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted it up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love what Peter said. He said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Peter knew that he had something to give this man. Peter knew that he had what this man really needed. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Peter said, "I have something to give you. I have the name of Jesus. I've been authorized to use that name. I've been authorized to speak in that name." And you know what? You have too. You have that name just like Peter had that name. You've been authorized to use that name. You and I can say what Peter said, "What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be free." Glory to God. We've got that name. Hallelujah. They didn't give the man maybe what he was expecting, but they gave him what he really needed. They gave the man what he really needed. What he needed was healing, wasn't it? Amen. And Peter took him and lifted him up, and he was strengthened, and he went about walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. And that was the first recorded healing and miracle in the book of Acts. Praise God. And so what Peter had, again, let's go back to that. What Peter had was the name of Jesus. Amen? Healing flows from that name. Healing flows. We have not understood the authority that's in the name of Jesus. I don't think we have properly honored the name of Jesus. We've kind of tacked it on like that's the end of our prayer, like that's the end of what we're supposed to say. Oh, in the name of Jesus, that's our little saying. Oh, when we speak that name, and when we know what we're saying, and when we have faith in His name, that releases the power of God. Hallelujah. Peter knew there was power in that name, that all he had to do was speak in that name, and the power of Jesus Christ Himself, the same healing power that Jesus walked in when He was on the earth, would be released through the speaking of His name, through the mention of His name. Hallelujah. So we need to honor the name, and we need to have faith in the name. In fact, Peter said that, talked about that in verse 16 of Acts chapter 3. He says, "And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through Him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Hallelujah. So what healed the man? The name of Jesus healed him. Hallelujah. Now, Peter and John said to the men, they said, "Look at us." But then a few verses later, as the crowd gathered around saying, "Wow, what did you guys do?" Peter said, "Don't look at us. It wasn't by our own power or our own godliness we made this man walk." And that's when he directed him to Jesus. That's when he said it was Jesus' name. And it's the faith that comes through Jesus that has healed this man. Praise God. Now, that name has not passed away. Amen. That name still has the same effect when spoken in faith. Amen. 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 That name is above every name. Hallelujah. And that name is unchanging. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Now, we don't have time this morning, but I just want to point out to you, all through the book of Acts, the ministry of healing through the church is described in great detail. Just for example, in Acts chapter 5, we find that multitudes were healed. In Acts 4, the church gathered together to pray. They were threatened, "Don't speak anymore in that name." Well, where was that coming from? That was obviously coming from the devil, coming through the religious and political leaders of the day. Well, don't speak to anyone in that name. You know, that's the same today.
Well, you can talk about God or the Lord. Or just don't say, you know, well, we'll allow you to pray in public, Pastor, but just don't mention the name of Jesus. You better find you somebody else to pray then. Hallelujah. All through the book of Acts, we see this. In Acts chapter 5, we see, so Acts 4, they prayed, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and let signs and wonders be done through the name of Jesus. So in Acts chapter 5, we see that multitudes were healed, that the people not only in Jerusalem, but from the surrounding cities and villages came and brought all the sick people, that even the shadow of Peter falling on some of them would heal them. And it says they were all healed. In Acts chapter 6, we find the scripture says that Stephen did great wonders and signs among the people. In Acts chapter 8, we read about Philip going down to Samaria. The Bible says he preached Christ to them. And it says many paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. In Acts chapter 9, we see that Aeneas is healed and that Dorcas is raised from the dead, as Peter prayed for. In Acts chapter 14, we see signs and wonders done through Paul and Barnabas. Also in Acts chapter 14, we see a lame man at Lystra who was healed. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago, I think, in one of these messages. He had never walked. He heard Paul speak and had faith to be healed. He heard the gospel and had faith to be healed, and so he was healed. In Acts chapter 19, the scripture talks about that God wrought special miracles, unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Praise God. And many people were healed, and demon-possessed people were set free and delivered by the power of God. And so we can go all the way through the book of Acts. So let's go to the last chapter. The last chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28. So from the very beginning to the very end of the book of Acts, we see healing. Amen. Healing had a prominent place in the ministry of the church. Healing and salvation went hand in hand. Amen. In Acts 28, in verse 1, it says, now when they had escaped, they found out, this is Paul, was traveling to Rome. He was on his way to Rome to testify before Caesar. He was under arrest, and he appealed to Caesar, and so he was going to Caesar to testify in Rome. And on their way, they had a shipwreck, and they ended up on the island of Malta. Chapter 28, verse 1, it says, now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So here's this deadly snake, this viper. Paul's gathered up a bundle of wood to put on the fire. And so a snake comes out of the wood that Paul's gathered up and fastens itself on his hand. It says, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Verse 5, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Glory to God. How about that? Well, that confirms what we read in Mark chapter 16. It said they shall take up serpents. That doesn't mean you go hunting them. That doesn't mean you take one out of the box in the church service and say, okay, folks, now it's time to handle the snake. He's not talking about that. But if you're accidentally bitten like Paul was, you can shake it off. You can shake it off. Amen? Some of you need to shake off that snake bite that you've had. The enemy has tried to grab hold of you. Shake that stuff off. Amen. Through the name of Jesus. Shake that stuff off through the power of praise. Amen. Paul shook it off into the fire, literally a snake, a viper, shook it off, and he suffered no harm. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, it didn't. The miracles and the healing didn't stop there. It was just starting. When they saw that, verse 6. It says, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. Why were they expecting that? Because they'd seen it before. Because they'd seen these snakes were obviously a problem on this island, and they'd seen it before that when people were bitten by these things, they would either swell up or they would suddenly fall dead. Either one was not good. And they were just waiting. Okay, it's about to happen anytime. He's going to drop dead. He's going to swell up. You know, there's nothing happening to him. He seems fine. Looks like he's fine. Looks like he's not going to have any problem with this. It says, but after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. The verse before, they said, oh, he's a murderer. He escaped shipwreck, but justice has prevailed here. The snake got him. The viper got him. Now they're saying he's a god. Well, that happened to the apostles in another place. You know, this, except in reverse order. They had ministered healing and deliverance to people. People were being healed and delivered. And so the priest of Zeus came out and was going to offer sacrifices to them. Well, these are gods. We're going to worship them now. They've healed the sick. Paul said, no, we're just men. But we have the name of Jesus. But we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We're just men. And so they were about to worship them. And then some folks came along and stirred up the crowd against them. And so they're ready to stone them. What's the point? People are fickle. People can change their minds. Amen. You just need to concentrate on pleasing God and serving Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, verse number 7, let's keep reading here. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. That could have been Ebola, because that's what Ebola is. So, well, I thought Ebola was invented. No, Ebola's been around. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. Amen. Glory to God. So he had some bad condition here where he's laying sick of a fever and dysentery. And so Paul goes into him and prays, and he lays hands on him and heals him. Verse 9, look at this now. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So everybody on that island got healed. They weren't even saved yet. We have no record that they were saved yet, but they got healed. I'm sure they probably got saved. I'm sure they probably became followers of this Jesus that had just healed them and set them free of their diseases. Amen. But from the first chapters of the book of Acts, the very beginning of the church, all the way to the end of the book of Acts, this is the last chapter in the book of Acts, we see healing. And we see healing continuing throughout the history of the church. You can read through church history and see that even though the devil tried to stamp it out, and even though people went away from it, that there was a thread and a stream of healing that flowed all throughout history, all throughout the church, the people that believed the Word of God and the people that understood the power of the name of Jesus continued to minister healing and see healings and miracles throughout the history of the church. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So healing is through, there's three things that we need to know about in regard to healing. Number one, healing is through the name of Jesus, like we've talked about. And we have that name today. Hallelujah. That name has not passed away. That name has not lost its power. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Peter said, what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Rise and walk. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And then number two, there is healing in the Word of God. Psalm 107:20 that we prayed over Eli just a few minutes ago. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. We have the Word of God today. I said, we have the Word of God today. There's healing in this Word. I said, there's healing in this Word. In Proverbs 4, it says, His words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. There's health and healing in this Word. Amen? Amen? If you need healing, you can get it right here in the Word of God. Hallelujah. How many people, how many of you, just let's have a poll here. How many of you have received healing in your body by finding promises from the Word of God and standing on those promises and reading those healing scriptures? Hallelujah. Look at that. Amen. There's healing in the Word of God. His word has not changed. His word has not passed away. Amen. And then number three, the Holy Spirit. So healing is through the name of Jesus. It's through the word of God. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus healed because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Remember in Luke chapter 4, we read it last week, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. To open the eyes of the blind and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Why? The Spirit of the Lord was on him. The Holy Spirit was on him to do that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Jesus healed because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and we have that same Holy Spirit today. Look at Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus didn't say, now I'm the only one that the Holy Spirit can be upon, and the reason I healed is because the Holy Spirit was upon me, but all that's over now, guys, because I'm going back to heaven. The Holy Spirit's going with me. No, right the opposite. He said, I'm going back, but I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. He's going to send you the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Listen to this. If it was worth coming to church today to get that other point that I shared with you about that we don't have to look away from suffering and need. We can fix our eyes upon it because we've got an answer. Here's the second thing you need to walk away with today. To be an accurate witness, to be a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have healing as a part of our witness. For it's a very real part of who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses to me. You'll be witnesses about me. Well, how can we be a full and accurate witness of Jesus without healing? Healing was such a big part of his ministry. Over and over, the scripture says he went about preaching in the synagogues, teaching the gospel, or teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. You see the ministry of healing prominent through Jesus. And so if we're going to be witnesses of Jesus, then healing's got to be part of what we do too. Healing's got to be part of our ministry. You'll receive power, he said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he ministered healing. He set free. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And the same is true today. The same Holy Spirit is upon us. The same Holy Spirit lives within you and is upon you. It's not a different one. He didn't have Holy Spirit 4.0 and you've got, a watered-down version. Sometimes we think that in our minds. You have the same Holy Spirit upon you that was upon Jesus. Think about that. Amen. The same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus and enabled him to set free all that were oppressed by the devil, that same Holy Spirit resides within you and upon you if you're a Spirit-filled believer. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So, not only is healing through the church, but healing is for the church. Like we said, God would not have us dispense something to the world that we couldn't partake of ourselves. Amen? So healing is also for the church. Let's make that very clear this morning. Healing is for the church. Amen? So if God ordained that His healing power flow from us to the world, then obviously He wants us to be healed, He wants us to be whole, and even to walk in health. Amen. Amen. Look, just a couple of verses here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Peter is looking back to the cross. Peter is looking back to what Jesus did on the cross. And he says, He Himself, He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He's talking about the cross. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And then he says, in that process, by whose stripes? Most other translations use the word wounds there. That word stood out to me. Jesus was wounded for us. By His wounds. Think about the wounds that came into His body. Think about the wounds from that whip as He was scourged. See, you either did one or the other to a prisoner, to a criminal. You either scourged him or you crucified him. He either got the death penalty or he got a severe punishment. Jesus got both. Pilate sent Jesus out and had him scourged, thinking that's going to satisfy the Jews. If they see him beaten to within an inch of his life, they'll say, okay, that's enough. So he sent him out and he scourged him. Jesus bore those stripes. Jesus was taking the punishment to pay for your healing. Amen. To pay for your healing. Think about that. Jesus bore the stripes for that. And then after that, he came back and the Jews said, no, that's not enough. Crucify him. Well, I'm glad he did that part too. Because he was paying for our sins. Oh, glory to God. He paid the full price. He left nothing undone for our full salvation, for our full deliverance. Hallelujah. He paid the full price. And that's what Peter's saying here. By whose stripes, by whose wounds you were healed. Your healing has already been provided and paid for. I said your healing has already been provided and paid for. Glory to God. No matter the condition, no matter what you may face in the future, it's already been, your healing has already been provided. Your healing has already been paid for. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What's left? All that's left is for you and I to believe it and receive it. That's all we've got to do is believe it and receive it. Hallelujah. It's paid for. I can't earn it. I believe that He did it for me and I receive it. Amen? Hallelujah. 3 John 2. The book of 3 John, verse number 2. There's just one chapter there. Look at this. He says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Notice this next phrase. And be in health. And be in health. God wants you to be in health. Amen. Amen. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Hallelujah. He wants you and me to live free from sickness, free from disease, free from infirmity, free from weakness. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can turn around and look at the banner, if you've ever noticed it. The banner on the back wall there. So there's a reason we have that up there. We want you to see it. He brought His people safely out. This is the New Living Translation of Psalm 105:37. Loaded with silver and gold. And look at that last line there. There were no sick or feeble people among them. That's his people in the old covenant. That's the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. There were no sick or feeble people among them. That was God's will. That was God's desire that there be no sick or feeble people among them. Guess what? His will has not changed. His desire for His people has not changed. His desire is that there be no sick or feeble people among us. And He's done something about it. Jesus, by His wounds, by His stripes, you and I were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. He's provided that healing for us. And God desires that we prosper and that we be in health. Amen. He wants you to live in health. He wants you to live free. No matter if your situation is major or minor, no matter if it's cancer you're dealing with or something that you think, oh, well, this is no big deal. I can kind of live with this. No, it's important to God. He wants you to be free from it. Amen. It's like Linda's dad, Mr. Garner, who went home to be with the Lord earlier this year. I heard him, I never did hear him tell this joke. I heard a lot of his jokes, but I never did hear this one. But it was relayed at his funeral service. He said, he told the joke, he said, you know what's the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? Major surgery is when I'm having it. Minor surgery is when you're having it. So your condition, it may be classified generally as minor, but if you got it, it's major, right, for you. Well, God wants you to be free from it. God wants you to be well. God wants you to be whole. Amen? One more scripture, James chapter 5. So there were no sick or feeble people among them, and that's to be the plan and the way it should be in the church. And so James asked the question in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Brother Hagin pointed out if he was asking that today, he would say for the three-fourths of you in the church that are sick. But James had to ask it, is there anybody sick? There shouldn't be. We should all be healed and walking to health. But if there is somebody, is there anyone among you sick? There's a remedy then. There's a protocol. There's something that can be done. Well, it might be the will of God, so just, you know, pray first and see if it's the will of God for you to be healed. It might be His will for you to be sick. Does it say that? Is anyone among you sick? If there is, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. That is so powerful. That is so positive. Amen. That so goes against some of our traditional teaching. Is anyone among you sick? Well, he can give it a try, but it might not be the will of God. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't infer anything there about it might not be God's will for everybody. He doesn't infer anything in there about, well, God always answers. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait a while. That's not Bible. That's just man's tradition. That's just man trying to explain away why they didn't receive what God had for them. But that's not Bible. Is anyone sick? Call for the elders of the church. We're going to do this in just a moment. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's definite. That's positive, isn't it? The prayer, it didn't say might. Well, you can give it a try and see if anything happens. No. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And, well now that person can't be healed, Pastor. You know, they've not done everything just right. Well, if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Amen? You know, there is a condition there. You've got to be willing to repent. You can't just say, well, I'm going to keep on sinning and I don't care what anybody says about it. You're not going to receive anything from the Lord like that. But even if you've missed it, if you come and you humble yourself before the Lord and say, you know, I've not been perfect. I've messed up. I've missed it here, but I need God's help and I need God's mercy. He is there. Like we said last week, He'll heal you on credit.
Amen.
Amen. Sure He will. Amen. Hallelujah. He is merciful and He's kind and He wants you well. Healing is our heritage. Healing is to flow through the church and healing belongs to the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So we're going to minister healing this morning. If you need healing in your body, we're going to minister to you through the laying on of hands and by the anointing of oil. So if you need healing, we want to minister to you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask my wife to come and join me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you'd say, that fits me, I need healing, let's do what the Bible says. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Well, here we are. Amen. We're here. We're the chief elders in this church. So I thought you were the pastor. Well, we're elders as well. Peter talks about elders being pastors. And so an elder is not so much a ministry office, but I don't have time to teach in all of that and talk about that. But we qualify, all right, is what I'm saying. And the main thing is, it's the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith. Amen. Brother Hagin, I think I shared last week, you know, he grew up in a denominational church that didn't preach healing, didn't believe in healing. And he read that scripture and he said, Lord, there's no elders in my church that believe this. I'm stuck. And the Lord told him, he said, well, you can pray that prayer of faith. You don't have to have elders. You can pray the prayer of faith. But when you do have elders that do believe, that can only help. Amen? Praise the Lord.